The word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Welcome to the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. In this podcast, you'll receive the word of God with anointed clarity and revelation straight from the throne of grace. Now, let's join Pastor White with the word of God already in progress.
But I've also come to understand that the three types of people that you would find in your life, you will find those who want to bless you, those who want to be you, and those who want to block you. I gotta say it again, because there are three types of people that you're going to find in your life. You will find those who want to bless you. You will find those who want to be you and want to be like you. And then you'll find some folk who just plain and simply want to block you. They want to block the blessings of God from your life. They want to block miracles from happening in your life. They want to block goodness from happening in your life. I just came to tell somebody this morning that Satan wants you and everything you love destroyed. Your dreams, your relationships, your happiness, your children, your future. He wants all. He wants to diminish it. His mission was and still is, as John 10:10 records, "The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." The devil wants you. Not only does the devil want you, but I need somebody to know that he ain't scared to talk to God about you. The Bible tells me in Job chapter 1 that when the sons of glory came to present themselves before God, when the sons of glory came before the throne of God, that Satan came along with them. I need somebody to understand it, but here, that the devil does go to church. Yeah, don't you fool yourself. The devil does come to church. And the devil does wear Prada. He wears red dresses, black shoes. The devil does go to church. And the devil, that when he came before God with the sons of glory, he then started inquiring God. And God said, "Have you tried my servant Job?" The devil's still in the midst of having his conversation with God about Job. Found Job being challenged and changed because of the devil. I need somebody to understand in here that the devil is not afraid to talk to God about you. That devil even had the nerve to try Jesus in the wilderness. So listen, if he ain't afraid to talk to God about you and then have the gall to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, don't you think, no matter how saved you are with your spiritual self, that the devil won't mess with you? Do I have some folk in here who can attest to the fact that the devil has tried me, he's messed with me, he's challenged me? We find it here in this passage that Satan wanted. Jesus says right here, "Simon, that Satan desires to have you. He might sift you." Satan wanted to sift. He wanted to sift Peter. He wanted that he may sift him. As we remember, little John, when I first read that, I said, "You know, that don't sound so bad. It actually sounds kind of cute." But because I was about to ask a crazy question, because I already know the answer to this one based on the pound cake I had a couple of weeks ago. I ain't soliciting. I'm just saying what happened a couple of weeks ago. And I was about to ask if I had some bakers in the house. And I was about to tell that when I was younger, my mama used to bake cakes. And in the midst of baking cakes, she grabbed flour and she grabbed sugar and butter and eggs and milk and vanilla extract and all kinds of things, depending on what type of cake she was baking, because she would bake a cake from scratch. I need some young folk to understand, you can't buy scratch in Harris Teeter. You won't find scratch on the Isles of Food Lion. No, you won't. No, you won't. Mom, but it was interesting. Priest of Mama would tell us to take the flour, and she would pour some into this tin tub thing, this tin container that had a handle on the outside with this screen thing on the inside. And Mama would make a game for us. It was a game, but it was really helping her work. We take that and we turn that handle, and we discovered or learned that we were sifting a flour. It was cute. It was a game to us. So when I read that the devil wanted to sift Peter, it sounded like a cute game to me based on what I understood sifting to be. Oh, but when I got into what sifting really is, sifting means to rip apart. Sifting means to shed into pieces. Sifting means, y'all with me up in here? Sifting means to violently, vehemently tear apart. And now all of a sudden it didn't sound so cute anymore, because the devil, Peter, wants to tear you apart. Devil wants to sift. I came to tell somebody at Weeping Willow today that the devil wants to sift you.
Yes,
that's why you're being challenged so much in your home and challenged so much on your job. That's why your children are acting a fool. The devil is sifting you. He is tearing apart your life and tearing apart your finances and tearing apart your marriages. Oh, but I came to tell you, don't you lose a hope. Because every time the devil shifts, God shifts. God, help me up in here. Yeah, I came to tell somebody in here, every time you find yourself going through a sifting, that's all right, because God's preparing you for a shifting. Tell somebody, hang on in there. Hang on, hang on, hang on in there. Yeah, it feels like a shift, but God is getting ready to shift. It feels like he's tearing you apart, but God is getting you ready for greater. Tell somebody, I'm ready for my shifting. Somebody just to do this shift. Satan wants to sift you. He wanted Peter destroyed. Peter, Petros, rock.
Yes.
Peter, he was going after Peter. Because Peter was rock, Petros, rock.
Yes.
Peter was the Rocky, if you will, of his day. His name meant rock. He was a rock. Peter was a rock of loyalty, a rock of courage, and a rock of strength. Peter was a man who decided to stand beside Jesus in the worst of situations. And for the most part, he did stand beside Jesus. His loyalty to Christ caused him to be a model of true faith and devotion. Yeah, you need to understand that it was Peter who stepped out of the boat to walk on the water to go to Jesus. I know. Some of you Bible readers are going to say, yeah, Reverend, but you still remember that the fact still remains that he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink when he looked at the waves and the wind. And he became so overwhelmed overwhelmed that he began to sink. Jesus had to reach down and pull him back up and say, why did you lose your faith? I know, but the truth of the matter is, Peter was the only one of the 12 that even dared to get out of the boat in the first place, because he trusted Jesus. It was Peter who had answered the question when Jesus says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Others began to say, some say thou art Elias, some say thou art Jeremiah, some say thou art one of the other prophets. Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? I'm going to preach that thing probably next week. Who do you say that I am? It was Peter, my God, Peter, who said, thou art the Christ, the Christo, the anointed of God. Thou art the Son of the living God. I know you Bible readers are going to say, but then just a few verses later, Jesus was the one that looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. But yeah, see what you want to say, it was Peter. Peter was the only one of the 12 who had the courage to say what they all believed anyway. Peter, whenever there was something to do, whenever there was something to say, whenever there was something to stand for, Peter was there.
Yes. Yes.
You could count on him. Peter was a simple and uncomplicated man who had one driving passion: his love for Jesus and his determination to defend his master against all threats. Peter was willing to step into the ring and take on all comers for the sake of Christ.
Yes, sir.
But this time, Jesus had a word for him. Simon. Simon.
Simon.
Satan desires to have you that he may sift you. But Jesus knew something about this here fight that Peter didn't know. Peter was going to try to fight a fight that he could not possibly win. Simon, called him Simon. I am going to preach this thing next week. He called him Simon because he called him by his fleshly name and not his changed name. Are y'all with me? She called him by who he was and not by who he is. Called him Simon. Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Peter, in other words, you can't win this fight. Yeah, you'll turn away, you'll fail, you'll fall, your faith will falter, you'll hit the mat hard. Simon, Satan desires to have you. I just came to tell you, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to intimidate anybody. But I need somebody in here to understand the devil has asked for you. He has called you by name, and he wants to tear you apart. Simon, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But when I was growing up, on Saturday mornings, preacher, you understand this because we about the same age. You got me by a little bit. But when I was growing up, growing up on Saturday mornings, couldn't wait for Saturday morning to come, because every Saturday morning on ABC was a program called Schoolhouse Rocks. Yeah, Reverend, I see you. Yeah. One of my most favorite things about Schoolhouse Rock was when this little choo-choo train was going around the track, and we just thought we were watching cartoons. We didn't understand that we were being educated in the process, and what we were being educated by was that little choo-choo train was about conjunctions. Hey, come on, y'all remember conjunction, junctions? What's your Y'all crazy. And, And I learned that the word and is a word of conjunction. What a conjunction does is it takes that which is before and complements or adds to that which comes after. For example, God the Father and God the Son. God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Are y'all with me up in here? However, there is another word that is a conjunction. However, the word but is not just a normal conjunction, but it is a dysfunctional conjunction that takes that which is before and takes it in a totally different direction with whatever comes after. Am I right about that thing? For example, when somebody says she can sing all right, but you know that whatever comes after that, but it ain't about to be good up in here. Yeah. Reverend Enrico White, he's all right, but... It ain't going in the direction that it started out, because but is now going in another direction. Jesus says, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I came to tell somebody up in here that whatever the devil had planned for you, whatever the devil had your name on, God is getting ready to take it in another direction. Somebody needs to tell the Lord thank you right there. Satan thought he had me down, but Satan thought he had me defeated, but Satan thought he had me sad, but Satan thought he had me bound, but Satan desires to have you, but I'm praying for you. That I'm praying, Peter. You don't stay down for the count, Peter. I'm praying for you, Peter. I'm praying for you. You know what? That's a reason to shout right there, to know that Jesus Himself is praying for you. Come on, somebody ought to give God glory right there. Yeah. That's enough reason to praise God right there, to know that somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. Simon, I prayed for you. Satan wants to crush you. We find ourselves wondering if things are ever going to go my way. Is my husband or my wife ever going to get right? Will my children ever find the right way? Will I ever get a job, or will they ever treat me right on this job? Will my car ever act right? How many more tears will I have to cry? I come to tell somebody up in here that trouble don't last always. I know you're going through. I know you're going through. I know you're going through, but let me tell you a secret. There's another side to through. You got to go through in order to get to. Don't you hold your head down. You are a child of God. Don't you hold your head down. You are a masterpiece in the making. Don't you hold your head down. Satan is trying to ruin the works of God in your life. He's a hater. He's an aggravator. He's an agitator. But I prayed for you. Check it out. Jesus says, but I prayed. Remember, check it out. He didn't say, I pray that the devil leaves you alone. That ain't what he prayed. He did not pray, I pray that you don't have to go through it. That ain't what he prayed. He did not pray, let me get over it. Let him get around it. Let him get under it. That ain't what he prayed. But Jesus says, I prayed that your faith does not fail. That's my prayer for somebody up in here. The devil wants you, but I pray that your faith will not fail. I pray that everything the devil throws your way, that you got a faith that can hang on in there. Anybody with me up in here? Why what is it about your faith? The devil is after your faith. Yes. That's what he's after. He wants your faith. He won't tell somebody he wants your faith. Why? The three things I got to get to you, got to give you, and I'm going to give you three in one so we can get out of here because, you know, I know y'all want to try to make brunch. I already know. Why is the devil after your faith? Here they are. Why? He's after your faith because your faith keeps you connected. Your faith keeps you protected. And your faith keeps you directed. I gotta say it again. Your faith keeps you connected. Your faith keeps you protected. And your faith keeps you directed. Will you say that with me? Your faith keeps you connected. Your faith keeps you protected. And your faith keeps you directed. It is your faith, my God, that keeps you connected to God. The Hebrew writer says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But in order to please Him, you got to believe that He is a God and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek, serve, and please Him. When you've got faith in God, there is something about your faith that keeps you connected to the power of God. Is there anybody in here who just believed God when it seemed like there was no way out? Is there anybody in here who just simply believed God when everybody told you you must be losing your mind? Is there anybody in here who believed God even when you didn't have a dime in the bank or a dollar in your pocket? But what you discovered was that your faith could move mountains. Your faith could overcome obstacles. Your faith could help me up in here because your faith got you connected. Not only does your faith keep you connected, but your faith keeps you protected. My faith keeps me directed. Check this out. Jesus says, but I prayed for you that your faith does not fail. Just check it out. Miss Phillips, here's the part right here. And when thou art converted. Wait. Yeah, I hear y'all getting the head saying strengthen. But you need to shout before you even get to strengthen. We so excited to get to the strengthen that you left it, you forgot the reason to shout. He says, when thou art converted. In other words, what you find yourself going through, you are already victorious over it. Y'all ain't helping me in here. When he didn't say, if you get converted, if I protect you, should it happen? But he said, when? I came to tell somebody, whatever it is you're going through, when. It ain't a matter of if it's going to happen. It's not a matter. No, it's when. Somebody shout when. Tell somebody it's about to happen in your life. I got a prophetic word from glory that God is about to shift some things in your life. I got an email from the eternal that God is about to shift some things in your life. I just got a text message from the testifier that God is about to do some shifting in your life. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brother. Your direction, because the same faith that saw you through is the faith you got to help to see somebody else through. I got to close this thing. Anybody remember when boxing used to come on network TV. I mean, before there was HBO boxing specials, and before you all were having pay-per-view parties. Hello in here, somebody. I'm sorry, I ain't paying pay-per-view to watch Merriweather fight. I ain't doing it. But if you paying for it, I will come to your house. I'm just saying. It was back, I was a little kid. I think it was on CBS, maybe on ABC, I don't remember, but it was in October 30th of 1974. And yes, to some young person in here, yes, I am that old. But it was back then, in October 30th, 1974, that Muhammad Ali was fighting against the heavyweight champion, George Foreman. And they were squared off in the boxing ring in Zaire. Ali had dubbed that fight as the Rumble in the Jungle. Foreman had been heavily favored and was considered to be the hardest puncher in heavyweight history. Foreman was confident that he was going to finish off this young braggart called Ali. He was so determined that when he entered the ring, he intended with all of his might and all of his power to squash and to tear young Ali apart. However, young Ali did something in that fight that no other fighter had ever done before. He had this technique that he called the rope-a-dope. Yes, somebody in here with me. What Ali did was he just simply leaned against the ropes. He held up his arms against his face, and he allowed Foreman to pounce on him with all of his might. Anybody remember that in here? Yeah, for 8 rounds. Yeah, Foreman was giving all of his strength and all of his might for 8 rounds. Yeah, he was beating on Ali till he could not beat anymore. And after the 8th round, when Foreman had lost all his strength, after 8 rounds, when he had lost all of his energy, that young Ali had come off the ropes and began to beat on the heavyweight champion of the world. And he sent George Foreman into an early retirement. I come by here to tell somebody that the devil is trying to fight you. The devil is trying to destroy you. That the devil is trying to annihilate you. Come here, preacher, I need your help. And you better not let me fall either, or it's about to be a fight up in here. Yeah. The devil is trying to destroy you. But I've come to tell you that when the devil tries to come against you, like Ali lean on the ropes, you got to lean on the everlasting arms of God. And when you lean on God, you got to hold up your faith. That when the devil hits you, he's hitting your faith. That when the devil strikes you, he is striking your faith. And sooner or later, the devil's going to get tired. Sooner or later, the devil is going to get weak. Sooner or later, the devil's going to give out. And when it does, God's going to push you off the rope. You're going to let the devil know that.
We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired by the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and or seeking a church home, please feel free to worship with us at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, located at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday morning worship with the preached word at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. And every first Sunday, Holy Communion. For more information about Weeping Willow, please go online to www.weepingwillowamez.org or call 704-532-9125 or via email at wwillowchurch@aol.com. Finally, if this podcast has encouraged and inspired you, please come visit us at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him."
This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word. Experience the worship. Experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived. Come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon.